The list goes on. April 29th, 2020. Welcome, subscribers.
You sounded like the voiceover on that SNL sketch from years ago. I forget the name of it. It was when they had the words on the screen. I forget.
Probably before my time.
It was like 80s, like the good period when they had like Sandler, Spade, and Farley and all those guys.
I think all the good times are overrated.
Wow. So I want to start by talking about Cain Velasquez. Isn't it interesting, Sean, that WWE did not include his name in the old press release back on April 15th when they announced the release of all of those talents? You're not going to tell me that that was accidental.
No.
That Cain Velasquez's name wasn't in there. They were trying to avoid the media attention because they didn't want it to go mainstream that they cut all these guys, because Cain Velasquez's name would have given them that mainstream attention, and that's why they didn't do it. But I just want to say this. You remember the classic story from Triple H talking about when Evolution split up and about how Vince McMahon wanted the payoff match to be the very next week with Triple H and Batista, and Triple H had to push back saying, "We're saving it for Mania," and then they did. And that was kind of – and that was a good, 15 years ago. But that's how Vince McMahon's been for the last, decade plus. No patience. Just get to it and move on. That's been how it's been. I look at Cain Velasquez. I understand when it comes to pro wrestling, people always thought Cain Velasquez was a bit of a questionable pick for pro wrestling because he was injury prone, because he's not the most charismatic guy. Seemed like he was the anti-pro wrestling superstar in that capacity. The fact of the matter was, Cain Velasquez is the guy that knocked out Brock Lesnar for the UFC heavyweight title. And Cain Velasquez had shown in his AAA matches that he's got some athleticism and that he's got some stuff that he can do in the ring. To me, it was money left on the table that WWE signs Cain Velasquez, gets all this publicity for signing Cain Velasquez, and they kill Kofi Kingston's title reign on the first episode of SmackDown by having Brock Lesnar destroy him in like 8 seconds because they want to build to Brock Lesnar, Cain Velasquez. Then they do the payoff match like 2 weeks later in Saudi Arabia with an armbar submission in 2 minutes, and then we never hear from Cain Velasquez again. What a waste of money that whole thing was. There's a massive list of guys you can look at and say, could have made money, could have made money, could have made money, could have made money. Cain Velasquez, they could have made money. If they had have waited and built that until WrestleMania. And you know what people are going to say? People are going to say, oh, but with COVID-19, they wouldn't have been able to make money. Nobody knew in October that this was going to happen. You know what I mean?
They could have. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was going to say they could have built it. They could have made it interesting. They could have licensed the UFC footage instead of showing still images like they did. They could have licensed the footage, shown the match footage, shown the interviews afterwards, built Cain Velasquez up. A lot of people didn't know who he was, Sean, in wrestling circles. Built the match up, have the match at Mania, or at the very least the Royal Rumble, at the very least, and make money off of it. And instead they did a quick blow off because they wanted to get Brock his match back. Got it out of there, and what a waste of money. They just left so much money on the table with Cain Velasquez. Whole thing's unfortunate.
There was a horrible domino effect, and I don't know exactly where it started. Maybe with WWE advertising. Well, I can tell you where it started. It started with WWE's need to blow Brock Lesnar's Money in the Bank briefcase. When they did that, and then he lost to Seth Rollins, they said, okay, well, we need to go to Bray Wyatt now. Well, they didn't need to go to Bray Wyatt now, but because they were going to Bray Wyatt on Raw, they moved Brock to SmackDown. And when they moved Brock to SmackDown, Kofi gets squashed. And when Kofi gets squashed, he's pushed down the card. That's one less main eventer you have. And then you run to Cain Velasquez. Well, why do you run to Cain Velasquez? Did that need a title? No. Meanwhile, on Raw, you're ruining The Fiend. You're ruining The Fiend. Then you're setting him up for what? Roman Reigns. Well, then they decide, no, you can't do that. Goldberg's getting put in. Well, then Roman Reigns ain't working with Goldberg. So now Braun Strowman's involved in this domino effect. And it continues and continues and continues. Just a plethora of just bad decision, bad decision, bad decision, cause and effect. And this was a part of that. He didn't need to be in a title match. He didn't need to be there. I'm tired of people saying, well, did you watch him in AAA? Like you're some kind of Mexican wrestling hipster. Yeah, I watched the 1 minute bursts he had in AAA. He wasn't going to do springboard tornado arm drags to Brock Lesnar. Hate to tell you guys, we never saw him work for any extended period of time. I've heard that he was well liked, and he tried to be more of a part of the locker room when he was around than Brock or Goldberg ever tried to be. So that's nice. But Jimmy, when I heard he was at the Performance Center, I was like, him with those knees?
Yeah, I thought the same at the time.
And admittedly, Matt Riddle had injury-prone issues, but he never misses a date unless he double-books himself. But
yep. Kane, I just look at it like they could have built it up into something big, regardless of Kane's injuries, regardless of how green he was in wrestling. I mean, you think back to – what did they always say about WrestleMania 3? They always say that Hogan Andre sold the show, Steamboat Savage – or sold the show and Steamboat Savage stole the show, right? Yeah. Andre could barely walk. He had a back brace on. He couldn't really do anything, and yet they drew a major house with a major program. Brock and Kane, am I saying it's Hogan Andre? No, so don't anybody take me to think of saying that. But they could have built it up in something very interesting given their history together, given that fight in the UFC, and they threw it away in 2 weeks. Yeah. And I just don't understand. I don't understand. They could have done so much more. I feel like AEW did so much more with Jake Hager than WWE has done in a similar situation with either Cain Velasquez or Bobby Lashley. And Jake Hager, with all due respect to him in terms of potential, he'd be probably ranked number three of those three guys in pro wrestling. And yet AEW did so much more with him. They took the Bellator footage. They showcased him, made him look strong. WWE did nothing. I mean, I really look at it. You know what they say about Hogan, right? They say, oh, Hogan, hey, bring Warrior in. I want to get my win back. Hey, bring Yokozuna in. I want to get my win back. I feel like it was McMahon going, oh, I'm going to do Brock a solid. This guy, Kane, AEW might sign Kane. That was a catalyst. AEW might sign this guy. And I hear, because Vince probably is an MMA fan, I hear he knocked out Brock. Okay, cool. I'll sign him. I'll bring him in. Brock can get his win back. And I don't think Vince had any plan for Kane at all outside of get Brock his win back, and that was it.
Sign him to a 3-year deal.
Just a waste. Yep, brilliant. Just a waste. The other one I want to talk about, this was a furlough, not a release, but Gerald Briscoe.
Yeah.
Now, I understand that Gerald Briscoe was 73. I understand that he has suffered multiple strokes. I get all of that in terms of, you know, why they maybe are putting him on a leave right now. But when you consider the fact that Gerald Briscoe was instrumental in getting Brock Lesnar in pro wrestling, he was instrumental in getting Jake Hager in pro wrestling, he was instrumental in recruiting a lot of other amateur wrestlers into pro wrestling.
Matt Riddle. He was a big proponent of getting Matt into WWE.
I feel like that they are so short-sighted on some of these releases, furloughs, whatever. And again, when you look at the fact that Gerald Briscoe has a long-time relationship with Jim Ross – when you look at where Jim Ross is employed right now, and when you look at, to me, what a strength it is to have a guy that has that kind of amateur pedigree that can scout guys the way he can, I think AEW is going to be all over him. What it's going to come down to, because obviously nothing is happening right now. There's no tournaments or anything. So what it's going to come down to is Gerald Briscoe loyal enough to WWE that he's just going to sit back, wait for things to restart, and then go back? That's going to be the question. Or is Jim Ross going to get on the phone and say, if you want a fresh start, you know, you want to try something new, we'll take you on. I think he's a valuable guy to have. Amateur wrestlers, we've seen how good they can be in the pro wrestling ring. I think he's a valuable guy to have. And I don't know why. So what if you're spending a little bit of money on the guy while he's sitting at home? He's 73.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just leave him on payroll. He's been with you. Did you know that he sold Georgia Championship Wrestling's television rights to Vince, which got Vince on TBS in like 84? Mm-hmm. They've known each other that long.
Yeah.
I just don't understand why you wouldn't just hold on. What could it be costing you? Maybe a couple hundred grand a year? Maybe?
One of the most loyal guys that Vince has, too. Also, I think one of two guys to hold the 24/7 championship, the hardcore title, and be in the Hall of Fame with Pat Patterson. I actually reached out to Gerald, and like we followed each other for a while but never spoke, and he confirmed to me that he was furloughed but says that he's got a lot of options. And sure. That makes me happy. And he closed it by saying, thank you for your friendship. And I was like, that might be the nicest thing that anybody has ever said to me the first time I've spoke to them, ever. Right. Like, what a gem of a dude this guy is. Like, you could just tell by how he treats people. I didn't know this guy, and that's the way that he closes a message to me. A-plus dude. Couldn't say enough nice things about that interaction.
I would bet money as soon as the news got out, Jim Ross was the first call.
Yeah.
I bet you. And JR, I'm sure, is going to do what he can to try to get him into AEW. You know, my favorite Gerald Briscoe story, and I feel like we've talked about this before, is when they showed him backstage showing Vince how to block the stunner.
Yes. Yeah. I love it.
I loved it. That was fantastic. Killer Cross. So you had info on this. Apparently he came up with the name Carrion.
Yep. There's a lot of Greek and Latin mythology behind it. But yeah, they were open to the idea of Killer. I don't know if they said maybe come up with something else, but that name was his idea.
I don't like it.
I don't either. But from what I understand, he kind of welcomes the challenge to overcome that. So, and that, okay. That was a part of it. He feels like he can get over despite that.
Yeah, I don't like it, and it's really too bad that they don't want to have two Killians.
Well, because it's not Killian, it's Killer. Killer.
I know that. Yeah. I'm saying it's too bad they don't want to have two Killians. Oh. They got Killian Dane, right? Because Killian Cross, if they don't want to use the Killer Cross name, Killian Cross would be good, but they already got a Killian.
You know what? That's a good idea.
I think it's a good name. Cross is good.
Yeah.
You know? But they got a Killian, and I don't want to suggest that they now go ahead and release Killian Dane.
Yeah.
You know? But I just think Killian Cross has such a better ring to it than Karrion Kross.
Yeah,
but whatever.
I
it is
do
what
too.
It is. So Impact bringing back the TNA name, is that just because they wanted a title on the show and they can't get Tessa Blanchard right now? Was that the only reason?
Yeah, for that in particular, I'm told that was the motivation, but they had planned to integrate some more TNA stuff into their schedule anyway, because they liked the positive buzz they got from that, and they did get a lot of positive buzz from that. But yeah, from what I understand, it's to serve as their interim title. I kind of dig that idea. While people are talking about TNA wrestling, you bring that back, you have a world title on the show. I think that's pretty good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, in this landscape, you got to pivot, and mm-hmm. you got to get creative and think outside the box. The only thing I will say is, if not for the fact that Anthem, you know, they weren't able to get a rights fee deal for years, finally just got their own station, and now Impact is on their own station. If not for all of that, I'd say it's a terrible idea, because mm-hmm. I don't think broadcasters like the name TNA. I don't think big sponsors like the name TNA.
Yeah.
But Anthem is long past that.
Yes.
They're long past it. They had their chance to get the deals before. They weren't able to get them. So given all of that, I say why not?
Yeah, and I mean, this was their most prominent title. I thought the one they had in 2007 to 2010 was way better. But this was the title that they had before it was the Global Force title for a little bit. But I dig that. I thought it was cool. People responded. So I'm all for it.
I want to read you a quote from Bianca Belair.
Okay.
She was interviewed by Muscle and Fitness, and I want to read this. She said, quote, "I don't ask for opportunities because I feel like whatever comes my way is what I deserve and I don't have to ask for it. But I've been sitting here proving myself over and over, and I finally got that spotlight." That is a recipe for failure in WWE. That's what that is. We have seen with Vince McMahon so many times that he changes his mind. He's got his flavors of the month, all of that. If you seriously believe that you don't have to ask for opportunities, if you seriously believe that you can sit back and they're going to come to you, you are going to fail in WWE. And so I hope somebody can wise up Bianca Belair and tell her that you need to push for opportunities, because they're not just going to hand you the keys to the kingdom. It's just not going to happen.
She's too good for that. She's way too good for that. Sometimes you got to let people know what you're worth. Even if they already know, they might take it for granted. She is very special, and she should know that she's special. Maybe not to the degree that somebody like Leo Rush did, where he was like, I'm above this, but mm-hmm. hey, he grew and learned. I think that Bianca could take a lesson from some of the people like Steve Austin who have stood up for himself, because I think she's every bit as talented as any woman on that roster, and she should protect herself.
For sure, but she should also not just sit back and wait for them to come to her.
Yeah, I agree.
So last thing on my list, you ever seen Billions? I know you and I have talked about it before. You ever seen it?
No, I might check it out, but no, I haven't. But Becky Lynch is doing it.
Yep, I love the show because, you know, I think there's a lot of real life in it in terms of backroom dealings and in terms of all the greasy shit that happens in the real world.
Yeah.
And so I'm a fan of the show. One of the characters on the show, his name is Mafie. And Mafie on the show is a big wrestling fan. So he always drops references to wrestlers. He's got big pay-per-view posters in his apartment on mm-hmm. the show. He's a big fan of it. The inspiration for that is one of the producers of the show. His name is Brian Koppelman. And Brian Koppelman is a big-time wrestling fan going back to the Bruno Sammartino days. And so he inspired the Mafi character in terms of the wrestling fandom. And as you just said, Becky Lynch is going to be on the season 5 premiere this Sunday on Showtime. Should be very interesting. That show is a really good show.
They
really
keep a lot of this stuff under wraps very, very well, which I can respect. But yeah, good for her. I think that's great. I think it's awesome. Good for Becky Lynch, and she deserves it.
I agree. Yep, should be good. All right, that's all I got for you, buddy.
We're out.